Their engines were each a focus of energy almost beyond imagining, packing sufficient power within their 200 meters to equal perhaps 1% of the energy produced by a small sun, flinging the two vessels across the four-dimensional void at an equivalent speed in real space of rather less than 10 light-years per hour. At the time, this was considered particularly fast. They sensed the Glittercliff and Sullen Gulf ahead. They twisted their headlong rush to angle them deep inside the war zone, aiming themselves at the system which contained Shah's world. Far in the distance, they could see the group of black holes which had created the gulf. Those flutes of plunging energy had passed through the area millennia before, clearing a space of consumed stars behind them, creating an artificial galactic arm as they headed in a long spiral, closer toward the centre of the slowly spinning island of stars and nebulae that was the galaxy. The group of black holes was commonly known as the Forest, so closely were they grouped, and the two speeding culture craft had instructions to try to force their way between those twisted, lethal trunks, if they were seen and pursued. The culture's field management was considered superior to the Adirans, so it was thought they would have a better chance of getting through, and any chasing craft might even break off rather than risk tangling with the Forest. It was a terrible risk even to contemplate, but the two ROUs were precious. The culture had not yet built many, and everything possible had to be done to make sure that the craft got back safely, or, if the worst came to the worst, were destroyed utterly. They encountered no hostile ships. They flashed across the inward face of the quiet barrier in seconds, and delivered their prescribed loads in two short bursts, then twisted once and tore away at maximum speed, out through the thinning stars and past the Glittercliff, into the empty skies of the Sullen Gulf. They registered the hostile craft stationed near the Shah's world system, starting off in pursuit, but they had been seen too late, and they quickly outdistanced the probing beams of track lasers. They set course for the far side of the gulf, their strange mission completed. The minds on board, and the small crew of humans each vessel carried, who were there more because they wanted to be than for their utility, hadn't been told why they were blasting empty space with expensive warheads, shooting off crews at each other's target drones, dumping clouds of CAM and ordinary gas and releasing odd little unpowered signalling ships, which were little more than unmanned shuttles packed with broadcasting equipment. The entire effect of this operation would be to produce a few spectacular flashes and flares and a scattering of radiation shells and wide-band signals before the Adirans cleared up the debris and blasted or captured the signal craft. They had been asked to risk their lives on some damn-fool panic mission which seemed designed to convince nobody in particular that there had been a space battle in the middle of nowhere when there hadn't, and they had done it. What was the culture coming to? The Adirans seemed to relish suicide missions. You could easily form the impression that they considered being asked to carry out any other sort something of an insult. But the culture, where even in the war forces, discipline was regarded as a taboo word, where people always wanted to know why this and why that, things had come to a pretty pass indeed. The two ships raced across the gulf, arguing. On board, heated discussions were taking place between members of their crews. It took 21 days for the clear air turbulence to make the journey from Vavach to Shah's world. Wubslin had spent the time carrying out what repairs he could to the craft, but what the ship needed was another thorough overhaul. While structurally it was still sound and life support functioned nearly normally, it had suffered a general degradation of its systems, though no catastrophic failures. The warp units ran a little more raggedly than before. The fusion motors were not up to sustained use in an atmosphere. They would get them down to and up from Shah's world, but not provide much more in air flying time. And the vessel's sensors had been reduced in numbers and efficiency to a level not far above operational minimum. They had still escaped lightly, Hawser thought. With the cat under his control, Hawser was able to switch off the computer's identity circuits. He didn't have to fool the free company either, so as the days passed, he changed slowly to resemble his old self a little more. That was for Yalson and the other members of the free company. He was really striking two-thirds of a compromise between Kraiklin and the self he had been on the cat before it had reached Vavach. There was another third in there which he let grow and show itself on his face for nobody on board, but for a red-haired changer girl called Kirachel. He hoped she would recognise that part of his appearance when they met again on Shah's world. "Why did you think we'd be angry?" Yalson asked him in the cat's hangar one day. They had set up a target screen at one end and put their lasers onto practice.